Okay, let's pray real quick for our Sunday school lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you once again today, Lord, just to thank you for this day, to be together as a family, in the house of God, Lord, and to just open your word, and Lord, I ask you just these words not be my words, but your words, Lord. And God, just let us be able to just remember some aspect of what we're talking about today, maybe one verse or one point, Lord, and be able to apply it to our lives, Lord. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, guys. So the last couple weeks we've been talking about being separated from the world. And so far, in the last 2 weeks, we learned that what the world actually is, what that means. And we learned how a Christian should relate to the world. And we learned what separation from the world involves. And it involves that Christians are not to love the world. And the Christian is not to be conformed to the world. And the Christian is not to be a friend of the world, and the Christian is not to fashion themselves according to their former lusts. So today we're going to continue through, and it's the Christians. As a Christian, you're not supposed to be spotted by the world, okay? So let's look at James chapter 1, verse 27. James 1, 27. James 1, in verse 27, says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Okay, it says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to be unspotted from the world. Okay, so we see that right here, separation from the world is a very strict thing. It's something that God tells us to do. It's not something that's like, you can be spotted by the world if you want to, or you don't have to be. No, he's very strict about this. And he talks about in this verse right here, it says to visit the fatherless and the widows during their affliction, and, here's the part, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world, to keep himself unspotted from the world. And what does it mean to be unspotted? It means you shouldn't have even little pieces of the world on you, okay? You're supposed to be clean and holy, okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5, 6. 1 Corinthians 5, 6. First Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. And the Bible says, your glorying is not good. Excuse me. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? What are we talking about here? Leaven, he's using that as a term for the world, for sin. Okay? So we see that worldliness is leaven. Okay? And that leaven will spread. And the Bible warns us that a little leaven will leaveneth the whole lump. And this is why we have to be careful when it comes to keeping the world out of our lives and out of our families and out of our churches, because a little bit of worldliness inside you will spread through you, your family, your church, okay? That's why as Christians we're supposed to be separated from the world, not spotted by the world. So the Christian is also not to have fellowship with the works of darkness. Let's go to Ephesians 5:11. Ephesians 5:11. Ephesians 5, verse 11. And the Bible says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Rather reprove them, okay? So the unfruitful works of darkness, it refers to those things that are worldly, the flesh and the devil, okay? We've talked about that, the lusts of the world. Anything that Satan would want you to do, that would be what we're talking about right here. The unfruitful works of darkness. And we're to have, it says right here, have no fellowship with these unfruitful works of darkness. And again, we see how strict God is about this separation from the world. He says, what are the words he says right here? No fellowship. No fellowship. None. And that is the highest standard. No. Just say no, right? This is what we learned as kids. Just say no. It is a very important standard. And the Christian is supposed to test everything in our lives with this standard. And that means that we test our entertainment that we listen to or look at, the movies. We test the books we read. We test, actually, the internet. We're on the internet. What are we looking at? Okay. We need to test the friends that we keep. We need to test the hobbies that we have, the business practices. How are you at work? Okay. The clothing you wear. Anything that's in your life needs to be tested by this standard right here. It says no fellowship. This doesn't mean you can have some fellowship. Okay. Partial fellowship. What did we learn? A little bit of leaven will just pollute the whole lump. Okay. And that's what we're talking about, being separated. No fellowship with the fruits of dark, or with the works of darkness. If we let just a little bit in, it's going to pollute the whole thing, okay? And this is not a negative standard, okay? Everybody, we can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. You're right, we can't do this, can't do that, because that's works of darkness. But it's not negative, it's positive, okay? Because it keeps you clean. And not only are we able to avoid the works of darkness, we are able to, if we look at this verse again, we are able to avoid anything that's unfruitful, okay? And remember we've talked about, you know, to be a Christian, you have fruit, good fruit. If you don't have good fruit, guess what you are? Unfruitful. So it is not God's will for the Christian to walk on the fence, like a lot of Christians do today, or a lot of people do, regarding the world. And they go along just avoiding the most blatant, obvious forms of worldliness, but they still like to partake of a little bit of worldliness, okay? They're playing that game, and God says no. You know, you think about it. For example, if you play an innocent video game, okay, and let's say the video game doesn't feature any kind of, you know, worldly music or immodesty or violence or anything that we should keep away from us, or maybe even watching the old movies from the 50s, you know, they're not bad. They don't show anything wrong. But if that video game or that movie consumes so much of your time, okay, what are you doing? You're taking away time from time you should be spending with God, okay? So, yes, it does get bad, okay? And that's what I'm talking about. Those little things might seem innocent, but what do you do with them? What consumes the majority of your time? Not saying it's wrong to, you know, go watch an old movie that's not got anything bad in it. But don't, you know, watch a movie marathon every week and just spend hours and hours and years doing that. Okay? Because then you become unfruitful. Let's go to Ephesians 5:13. Ephesians 5:13. And the Bible says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Okay? So not only are we to avoid the unfruitful works of darkness, we're also to reprove them. Okay? We see all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. That's what this verse says. So biblical reproof is difficult to give and difficult to receive, but it is light. And if the light is received, then it brings repentance. So if you see something you're taking your life and you're looking at it with this focus right here, with this lens that God gives us about worldliness, and we see something in our life, okay, then we reprove it. And we get repentance and we clean it up with God and we get rid of it. Okay? That's what the light does. It shows the darkness. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Romans 3, 19 and 20. Romans 3, verses 19 and 20. And the Bible says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Okay? And let's also go to Galatians 3:24. And these two verses go hand in hand. Galatians 3:24. Galatians 3:24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Okay? It's our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. That's the law. So the light of God's law reveals God's holiness. And what else does it reveal? Man's sin. Okay? God's light will reveal His holiness and our sin. And it is not there to show you, oh, you're wrong, you're evil, you're bad. No, it's to lead you, to be your schoolmaster. Okay? That's what it's talking about. It's to lead us to Christ. Exactly what God wants to do. And, you know, even if the light is not received by some man, by like they just like, oh, I don't want to look at that. I don't want to admit that. It doesn't matter because God is still glorified by that light because God is the light. Okay? And that's the light that will show our sins. Okay? So what else is a Christian we supposed to do? I mean, we're supposed to abstain from all appearance of evil. We've been talking about actually being in fruits of darkness or being in lust or being in our former ways. But we're supposed to abstain from even the appearance of evil. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:22. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And this is a pretty popular verse, and I like it. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Abstain from all, not some, all appearance of evil. So we see that the standard of separation becomes even stricter. Okay? Not only are we supposed to stay away from worldliness and be separated from it, we're supposed to be separated from the appearance of it. Okay? We're supposed to abstain not only from evil, but even from the appearance of it. And we talked about last week the Greek word that I couldn't pronounce. It's idios. It was translated as appearance, okay? We talked about it last week in Luke 9:29. The same word idios is translated as fashion, okay? To fashion. So we are not to have the appearance or fashion of evil. What does exactly this mean? This means that we're not even to look like we're doing something sinful, okay? And think about this. This is one of the reasons that many Christian men and women, and we have to be very careful, especially how we relate with the opposite sex nowadays, because, you know, men and women are mixed up in work and everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's men and women mixed being together. And, you know, you think about it. How would it look if a single man and a single woman were friends? And then they started hanging out at each other's house. But they tell everybody, we're not boyfriend and girlfriend. We're just friends. What's that appearance? Okay? It's an appearance of evil. Okay? Because everybody, you know what everybody's thinking. Okay? And also, for those to do that, if they are just friends, what are they doing? Not only are they taking on the appearance of evil, okay? They're probably being very dangerous places to some temptations coming on. Okay? Because you're getting close, you're starting to spend time alone together. That's appearance of evil, okay? Also, let's say that, you know, a man said, oh, I'm going with my friend after work, and we're going to hang out and, you know, just talk for a little while, but we're going to the beer joint. But I'm just going to have a Dr. Pepper. No. No. Anybody knows that's the appearance of evil right there, okay? So, this one verse alone by itself should lead us to stay away from stuff like Christian rock and roll, Christian rap, Christian heavy metal, etc., etc., etc. Okay? It has an external appearance that says it's Christian, but it's blatantly the same music as the world listens to. It's the dark worldly music of modern music. Okay? And this is a scary thing about this new Christian music, okay? Is if you take some of the Christian music today and take the lyrics out, okay, and just listen to it, what does it sound like? Does it sound like worldly music? Does it feel like worldly music? Does it make you have the same beat, okay? If it does, I guarantee you it's not Christian music, okay? And it's very subtle. For most, a lot of people love to listen to it, and, you know, they're jamming out to Christian music, but it's not Christian music, okay? And everything about modern, you think about a modern rock concert, okay? You go to a modern concert, does it have an appearance of evil? Pretty much, right? The musicians are dressed evil. It's dark. There's, you know, the set is evil looking. The atmosphere is evil. Everybody in the crowd's moving around, shaking, jumping, out of control. It's all an appearance of evil. Why would you go to that? Okay? So, you know, we're supposed to stay away from evil, not play in evil, not let it, even little leaven get into us, right? We're supposed to even take away from the parents of evil. So is there a positive side to separation from the world? Sounds like it's just, you know, we're going to get bored, not do anything, but that's not always true. So 2 Timothy 2:22. Let's go to there. 2 Timothy 2:22. 2 Timothy 2:22. The Bible says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." A pure heart. So we see that separation is not a negative issue. Okay? Separation is a matter of spiritual and moral protection. You're protecting yourself spiritually. You're protecting yourself morally, okay? Timothy was told to flee also youthful lust. And this is an image of someone running away from a great danger. It doesn't mean walk away. It doesn't mean kind of shuffle away. Run away. Flee. Run away from youthful lust, okay? And I think about, you know, Lot when he separated from Abraham. But he went towards the bad cities, didn't he? And even when the angels told him to get out, he still wanted to hang out. They told him, run, flee. We're going to destroy the city. And they had to eventually take him and move him out and his family. And he still didn't want to leave. His wife looked back and she turned a pillar of salt. But did Lot flee? No. He said, well, can I just go to this city over here? It's kind of like that other city. He just wouldn't flee useful lust. He was one of those guys that was right on the fence. You know, he had a lot of leaven in him, I think. But it says, flee youthful lust, because God doesn't want to take pleasurable things away from us. He wants to take sinful things away from us, okay? Like intimacy between a husband and a wife. That is designed by God in the bonds of marriage that he designed. That's a union he put together. But intimacy between somebody you meet at a bar, okay? Very different. God wants us to have that intimacy with our wife or husband that we're married to, okay? So James 1:17, let's look there for a minute. James 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from who? From the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Okay? So where does every good thing come from? Pretty simple. God the Father. If it's good, it comes from him. If it's bad, probably comes from Satan. Okay? So God is the author of every good gift. When he made Adam and Eve, think about it. He put Adam and Eve in the most beautiful, wonderful, mosquito-free, fire ant-free garden you could think of. Okay, there was no thorns, there was no stickers, there was no horrible bramble that I hate, there was no yopon growing between the trees. It was perfect, okay? And he designed that for what? Every good thing. It came from God, okay? And who messed it up? It wasn't God. It was humans, okay? We messed it up. So God is not some cruel God that wants to harass people and just force us into following all these meaningless laws. No, his laws are for our purpose, to make us happy and safe, okay? That's what we're supposed to do, but we don't all the time. And God is the most compassionate, most giving, most loving God in existence. And his ways are always true freedom and true liberty if we will follow them, okay? His command is to separate from evil things of the world, and this is designed for what? To protect us from spiritual and moral harm, okay? It is designed to keep us from being captured by the world, by our own flesh, and by Satan. That's what his laws are for. Separation is an association matter. You're looking at Timothy, was to pursue holiness and with them that call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. That's what this verse says. And this reminds us that one's associations have a great influence on one's life. Okay? Who we associate with really affects our lives. Okay? And you can just think back. Think about times when you associated with people that were not Christian. What did you do? You went that way. Okay? And that goes for work or anywhere else. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. And the Bible says, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners." Let's read that again. "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners." Very short verse, but very powerful and very true. So we see a warning from God that evil communications corrupt good manners. So if you run with the wrong crowd, you will probably not live a goodly life, a godly life, okay? You think about a good apple. You could take a beautiful, beautiful apple, and if you had a basket of rotten apples and you sat it in there, within a couple days, that good apple's rotten too, okay? It's exactly what happens, okay? Separation is a heart matter, okay? Paul mentioned a pure heart. If a heart is right, the Christian will respond positively to God's command to separate from evil. So if we're right with God and he tells us to separate, we'll be good with it. If we're not right with God and he's commanding us to separate ourselves from it, we're going to have a tough time doing it because we want to play in that little field over here where it's not where we're not supposed to be. And you think about this perfect example. You think of somebody that comes to church. And let's say they're covered in tattoos. You know, the guy has long hair. He's got piercings everywhere, you know, and he's wearing, you know, tight jeans and a Budweiser t-shirt. And he comes to church, and he hears the gospel. And then he comes again, and then he comes again. Pretty soon you're going to see him. He's got slacks on. He's got a polo shirt. His hair's cut. The piercings are gone because God's changing him, okay? If he continues with the description I gave you, if he continues there, he's not separating himself from the world. He's not getting it, okay? excuse me. Because once God is in your heart, you have the desire to change. You want to change. You want to separate, okay? But if you go today and you can look on the internet and watch the emerging church or any of these contemporary Christian churches, you're going to see people, piercings, tattoos, long hairs, in modest clothing. But it's all accepted there because they're mixing Christianity and they're mixing the world. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. They're mixing it because it justifies their sin. It makes them feel good, right? So separation is a replacement matter. We need to replace things that are sinful and follow things that are good. Remember we talked about Timothy was to flee from sinful things and to follow godly things. And it's not enough to just give up sensual music and worldly fashions and our unwise friends that hinders one's spiritual walk. But the Christian must also add what? We must add godly friends then, okay? We must add sacred music, good music to our thing. We must add books and TV and movies that are good stuff, not bad stuff, okay? Remember, that little bit of leaven will mess up the whole pile, okay? We must do wholesome activities. And then, once we do that, we need to get busy doing what Christ told us to do, okay? So, is separation legalism, okay? Now, what is legalism? Legalism, you look it up in the dictionary, is excessive adherence to the law or formula, okay? And it also goes down there, you drop down a little bit, it says dependence on moral law rather than on personal spiritual faith, okay? Think about that. So, this would be... obedience without faith produces legalism. And you think about in some countries in the world, they're all about following a set of rules, a set of laws, and if you don't follow them, they're going to do something bad to you. But it's not because they're trying to be closer to God. It's because they're trying to follow a rule set of laws set before them. And those countries turn out to be, they're edifying what? Their leader, their dictator, their president, whatever they've got there in power. And if they don't follow, guess what? They get the hand chopped off, or they get thrown in prison, or they disappear forever. That's legalism, okay? That's not Christianity, okay? So Christian separation, is it legalism? Let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. I'm going to read 11 through 15. And the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So, no. Are we looking at these verses right here? No. Christianity and separation from the world is not legalism. We see that the true grace of God leads men to be strict and holy and live a separated Christian life. Okay? So, talking about this separation that we're talking about, is it selfish to be separated? Let's go to 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. And the Bible says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Let's read that one again, because that is really important. Casting all your care upon him. Upon who? Upon God. Upon Jesus Christ, our Lord. Casting all our care upon him. And why do we do that? Because he cares for us. Pretty simple verse, right? So no, separation is not selfish. It's actually smart. It's the wisdom of God being separated. Why do we separate? To avoid, what did we learn in the last few weeks? The lust of the flesh, right? The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's the way to protect us from Satan and his little tricks, his little deceptions, right? If we give into those, we become a slave to that sin, okay? And it doesn't have to be some blatant sin. It could be something as easy as, you know, something we like doing better than going to church. Like, I have property up in the country, and I like going there. I like working out there. I like clearing bushes and brush and building things. But if that property becomes something that I do, like, man, it's a beautiful weekend, I think I'm going to take off Saturday and I'm going to come back Monday. I'm missing church to work on that property. It's not evil that I'm working on the property, but it's something that I'm doing that's taken away from God. Okay? Now that's becoming wrong. Okay? And that's what we're talking about here. So is separation, like I said, separation is not selfish. It's being separated from the world to protect us, okay? To protect our families if you're a husband, to protect our wives, to protect our children, okay? So is separation unchristlike? Hebrews 7:26. Hebrews 7:26. You got it, Cam? Okay. Hebrews 7, verse 26, the Bible says, "For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners," right there, "separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." So no, it's not unchristlike. Christ was holy, and he was separated from sin his whole time here on earth. He never dabbled in sin. He was not spotted by sin. He had no leaven in him. He was separated from sin. But yet, he was a friend of sinners. Okay? He hung around with sinners, but he didn't take on their spot. Why did he hang around with them? Okay? He hung around with them to teach them the right way, to preach to them, to be an example to them. Okay? So they can what? So they can become saved, and then they can be unspotted, right? That's why he hung out with them. He didn't hang out with them and do the things they did. He was never a friend of sin. He was a friend of sinners, okay? And the emerging church describes Jesus, if you look at their description and how they talk about him, you would think Jesus was a happy-go-lucky, party kind of guy. It's exactly what they want to portray, because they want him to be their friend, like that, okay? They don't want him to be their Lord, really, okay? But that's not what Christ was, and that's not what he is today. And he warned us about judgment, and he preached about hell. How many churches, emerging churches, preach about hell? Probably not many. And he preached about it in public. He preached about it in private. Okay, because that's what's going to happen to you if you don't accept Christ as your Savior. You're going to find out exactly what hell really is like, and it's not a party. And, you know, you think about Christ was going around preaching this about hell, about hell, about hell. If we go around and teach people about hell, that's a good way to get the world to not be around us, isn't it? Because they're not going to want to hang out with us very long. That's a good way to end a party. You know, and you think about it. When they captured that woman in adultery and brought her to Christ, okay, what did he do? He forgave her by his marvelous grace. But then what did he tell her to do? Does anybody remember? Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Now you're saved, your sins have been forgiven, now go and don't do that anymore, okay? Be what? Separated from the sin that she obviously was doing, okay? And that is a strict command, a strict standard that this world, if we put on this whole world, it would end a lot of the worldliness. Go and sin no more, okay? So why is separation so unpopular? 2 Timothy 4:3. Second Timothy 4 and verses 3 through 4, the Bible says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Man, these are some powerful verses, right? And it's describing today, isn't it? Because people want their sin so bad, but they want to play Christian, you know. So what do? You know, it's very unpopular to be separated from the world. It makes you different, right? Wait a minute. It makes you a peculiar people, a special people. Isn't that what God called us to be? So it's very unpopular to live like this, but you think about it. These two verses right here, we're talking about the apostasy that we see today. This is what we're seeing today. Today's modern church is full of people claiming to be Christians, but they're basically creating their own form of Christianity. Right here. What does it say? It says they will not endure sound doctrine. How many people in the emerging church today could endure Brother Larry's preaching? It would wipe them out. Okay? Why is this church not full? Because people won't endure sound doctrine. Okay? And why is that? Because they want to go after their own lusts. So what do? They find them a teacher over here, not a preacher. They find a teacher that will give them a sermonette and tell them they're wonderful, they're God's children, and we're all happy and we're all going to heaven. Oh, and you're going to prosper. Okay? Now let's get back to the rock band. It's exactly what they're doing. Okay? That's what we see in these verses today. So, what have we learned about the separation that Christians are supposed to have? Well, we learned what the world is, okay? We learned how a Christian should relate to the world. And what exactly does separation from the world involve? We've learned that Christians are not to love the world, right? We've learned that Christians are not to be conformed to the world or fashioned to the world, okay? We learned that Christians are not to be a friend of the world, okay? We've also learned that a Christian is not to fashion themselves according to their former lusts, okay, the things we did before, okay? A Christian is not to be spotted by the world. A Christian is to have no fellowship with the works of darkness. Okay? A Christian is to abstain from what? All appearances of evil. Okay? So there is a positive side to separation from the world, and which is living a moral, clean, obedient life to God who created you. And why do we do that? To please the one that created us, to please God. But it also has a second effect. It protects us. You know? I know me and Claudia like to watch those little true crime things, you know? And we always comment about how, you know, this guy over here got murdered, and they say, oh, he's a father of three. And at first they tell about how good he is, but then in the end you find out he is a drug dealer, he was running from the cops, and he did a bad deal and somebody killed him. Okay? So if he was living godly, would he have been doing that? No. Or, you know, she's the mother, and she's, you know, a single mom struggling to make it. But then you find out that she had three boyfriends, and, you know, she was messing around, and one of them got mad at her and killed her. Live godly, and you'll be protected from those things. Pretty simple. So what does God say about Christians being separated from the world? What does he specifically say to us? Let's go through just a few verses. Romans 12:2. And these are pretty self-explanatory. Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. And the Bible says, and this is God talking to us, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Read it one more time. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Pretty self-explanatory. Not much to say there. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. First Peter 2:9, and the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." This is exactly what we've been talking about right here. Okay? You're a peculiar people. You're different because you're separated from the world. Okay? And who called us out? God called us out. Out of the darkness, and he did that with his light. Okay? John 15:19. John chapter 15 in verse 19. John 15:19, the Bible says, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Okay? So when you're with the world, when you're of the world, everything is fine. You have all the friends and you're having a great time and life's just a big party. But once you get saved and accept Christ as your Savior and you're separated, that world that you used to party with is not going to like you anymore. And it's okay. It's okay. That's what you want. If you get saved and your friends still party with you and they're still friendly with you, there's a problem. Something's wrong. You might want to reevaluate yourself. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Let me go back. Ephesians 2:10. The Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." One more time. "For we are his workmanship." Who are we? We're his workmanship, God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Walk in the good works. We're to be separated from the world. And the Bible says, be ye separated for a reason. Okay? So that's it on separation. I think it's a thoroughly beaten horse. We know what we're supposed to do if we're Christians, right? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you today, Lord. God, I just hope these words made sense, Lord, and were in order, and just that we could understand, Lord, that separation is not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing, Lord, and it draws us close to you, and it protects us, protects our family, Lord, and it keeps those spots away from us, Lord, and washes us clean and shows us that we're not even taking on the appearance of evil, that we're different. We're a peculiar people, and that's what we need to be, Lord. And I ask you just to help me be that better every day and help my church family, Lord, as we strive to get there with you, Lord. And I ask you just to keep us safe as we're here the rest of the day, Lord, and we hear your word, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, Cam.